Are we all sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. For our visitors, I will encourage you by saying we start on time and we finish on time. Unless the Lord has something else he wants to say. So, I'm going to continue in the theme that I was speaking on last time I spoke, which is spiritual gifts. It's not the fruit of the Spirit, it's the gifts of the Spirit. And I just want to caveat one or two things, because when we come to church, it's not just to come to listen to somebody speak, it's to say, Lord, you speak to me. Because those of us that are in this room, we have a concept of a creator God. And he created us and he can recreate us. So we have the natural and we have the not natural, which is supernatural. So often when we hear the supernatural, we can get the music in the background and it becomes weird. It's not weird. It just means it's not natural. You know, if my hand was missing and it grew, that wouldn't be natural, would it? It would be supernatural. So we have... I want to read this portion of scripture out to us. It says, now concerning a spiritual gift. Now about gifts of the Spirit, spiritualities, some versions would say. Brothers and sisters, that's you and me, I do not want you to be uninformed. To be uninformed is to be ignorant of the facts. In fact, I do this when I'm preparing, I kind of look at the meaning and it just says this, not having or showing awareness or understanding of the facts. Not of the fiction, but of the facts. Now I'm dyslexic for those that don't know me and I don't have notes, but the Bible says that the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. So that could be a scary place, depending on what I was speaking about the day before. But when it comes to the Bible, if we know the Bible, we'll be able to share the Bible. So it's not about what I think, it's about what the Bible says. And that's our blueprint for everything, because when it comes to spiritual gifts, we can get into trouble if we're not careful, because we listen to individuals that have a gift that's not a spiritual gift. It's just they're saying it is, and they lead us astray. So I want you to be not led astray. It says this, don't want you to be uninformed, so we want to inform you. You know that when you were pagans, not churched, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. That's something that's worshipped like a god that can't speak, that can't do anything, can't produce anything, but it's worshipped. Sometimes you go into different cultures and they'll worship a statue. Some people have a shrine in their homes and they worship it. Well, that's an idol. We worship a living God, a God that loves us, encourages us, enables us, and he breathed into us. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts which we know. But it's the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God. That's right, I was just about to share my drink. Let me give you this. Glenn, do you want? Just be careful how you undo it. Let's come back. There are different kinds of working, but in them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So whatever gift God gives us, it's the same God, it's the same Spirit. Now to each one, the manifestation, that's when a gift is made known to those around us. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? The common good. So God doesn't gift us to keep it to ourselves. He gifts us to share with others. And one, there is through the Spirit, the message of wisdom. We've spoken on that. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith. And that's what I want to speak about today, faith. And when I'm looking at faith, if you think about it, there's, I would say, maybe you can come up with more, but there's three types of faith. There's natural faith. So if you're standing up, you know your chair's behind you and you sit down without looking, you have faith to believe the chair's there and it's going to take your weight. Yeah? Faith. We use that element of faith all the time in our daily routines. It's just a faith that we've been given, that we have an understanding that the microphone, as long as there's a battery in it, and Nigel's always on hand, I know that it will project. Right, that's faith. But there's a faith that comes, it's a spiritual faith, but it's a fruit, and it grows. It's a faith that starts off small, and then it gets bigger and bigger, because as we journey with God, as we look into the Bible, we start to see what God says, and we start to believe what he says. So our faith grows. And then we have a gift of faith, which is faith for the supernatural, which is given to us at any given time. Now, there are people that will claim that they have this supernatural gift all the time and they can do whatever all the time. Well, I'm not saying yes or no on that, but I've not experienced it in my own life. I've not experienced it. I've experienced faith, that supernatural faith, where there's been something that's risen up inside of me and I know that I know. When my wife Susan was pregnant with our youngest, Karis, she had an ectopic pregnancy. And we was told by the doctors that the child in the womb will die because of the operation to remove the child out of the womb, because it was ectopic. And at that moment, as we're full of tears, our faith wasn't very high. We phoned the church, and the church's faith was high, but mine wasn't. And then I heard something in my heart, and it says, "You're having a daughter." Then my faith rose. Now, that was a gift. That was a gift of faith that I was given for that moment. Our daughter was born healthy. Irritating. Normal. As she grew up. She was born healthy. But that was a gift that I was given. Does that make sense? Do you understand? But I never had the faith, that fruitful faith that was grown, because I was in despair. I was going, "We're going to lose our child. My wife is just about to go down for the operation." She comes back and they say, "Well, we couldn't find anything." "What do you mean you couldn't find anything?" "Well, we thought it was, we've had 4 scans and it shows there's a baby, and now there's not a baby." So God will give us that gift of faith if we're open to it. So there'll be times that we can exercise. And that's what I want to talk about today. There's a spiritual faith where it's fruit and it will grow. So I'm going to cover all of it today, because I just don't want to major on the miraculous. I want to major on the journey that God has given us. Now, I like to read scripture. I like to look at it. I like to see what the understanding is. And I want to bring it to us so that we can go away blessed and encouraged and yet challenged. You know, because the Bible talks about forgiveness, but in forgiveness is also repentance. So it's always a double-edged sword that will cut away the dross. Now, it says here in Hebrews 11, verse 1, "Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." That's a hard one, isn't it? We can't see it, yet God says, have faith. As we read his word, faith will grow. It will grow, it's a fruit. It will produce much, 30, 60, 100 times. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God's command. Now, that's one of the first things we really need to grapple with when we become a Christian. Do you believe that God is who he says he is? Well, if you say yes, well, that's a gift of faith. It was given to you. Yet while we were still sinners, God loved us and died for us. He didn't wait for us to be repentant, come to him, be washed clean, and then we're accepted. We're accepted in the Lord before we repent. So as we journey and say, "Lord, I don't understand." I used to marvel. This is simple, but for me, it's profound. I used to marvel at what my hand can do while my head is thinking about something else. And I'm tapping my foot and I'm going, "What's for tea tonight?" I marvel at that. I just marvel at it, at how we've been created. And so often we don't see the simple. We look outside and we see nature and we miss the simple. We look up into the skies and we see the stars and we miss the simplicity. And we can say to ourselves, "Well, I don't understand, but by faith, I'm trusting that God created it. In the beginning, God said, and that's what I'm basing my hope upon. I don't see it, but there's an assurance about what we do not see." This is what the ancients were commended for. And it goes on and it tells us about the journey of faith of Abel and others as they go along. But it says in verse 6, and I want us to just pause on this for a moment. It says, and without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, I'm going to digress slightly, because I think it's worth saying within our journey as we meet people. There are individuals that we'll come across, and I used to be one of them, where they go, well, you know, God didn't do this for me, and my grandmother died when I was young, my grandfather died when I was young, my dad died when I was 11, my mum died when I was 30. How can there be a God? And I'm praying to a God that I don't believe in. There's a song, isn't there? And yet, once I got to the point where I trusted there was a creator, then all those questions were answered. God gives, God takes away. To live is Christ, to die is gain. There's an eternal heaven and there's an eternal hell. And if we don't understand by faith that we need to start at that point, not knowing the answers, but the answer is God. There's a story I'll tell you. I've got 12 scriptures, so I'll try and get through them. I was... When I was at school, they used to say, right, if you can answer this question, you can go to lunch. Well, I always went hungry because I could never answer the question. And I remember my old pastor, Paul, he told a story about someone he knew. And he said, he was in class one day and he said, there's a question that needs to be asked. And he put his hand up. He said, I know the answer. He said, well, I've not asked the question. The answer is Jesus. So I know the answer now. By faith, I started that journey. So when we talk about faith, we'll read a scripture that says faith is small as a mustard seed. We'll read a scripture that says without faith, you can't please God. We'll read a scripture that says before we even believed God loved us, we read a scripture that says, you know, we're to put our faith in things we can't see, yet we're hoping for them. So faith can be a stumbling stone sometimes, but it doesn't need to be. This faith we're talking about today, as we tackle some of the other elements of faith, is the supernatural faith. It's the time where something rises up within a Christian where they say, I know that God's going to help me. I know that God's going to deliver me. I know that God's going to heal me. Healing's a hard one, isn't it? You know, we all have aches and pains, and there's times where you can be in a meeting in another church or even in this church, and God supernaturally does something. And then next week, nothing happens when you pray the same prayers. There's that gift of faith for that time, for that moment. Don't dismiss yourself. If you're in a position, church, where there's something rises up in you and you think, this is impossible. I can't say that. I can't do that. Well, maybe God is instilling that gift in you. To believe for the unbelievable. And that's what the gift of faith is. So as we continue through these scriptures in Luke 6:43, it says this, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each is recognized by its own fruit. And the reason I put this in, it has nothing to do with faith, but it has everything to do with fruitfulness. Because within the church, there are men and women who at times are given the gift, but they don't bear the fruit. The love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the self-control, the compassion. You know, compassion is not pity. Compassion is, if you break that word down, it's like, I feel what you feel. And when we draw alongside someone with compassion, helping them on their journey, showing the fruit of the Spirit, that's the time I suggest that God could give you that gift that says, listen, can I pray for you? And God does something. It's a one-time, a two-time, a three-time thing. Maybe you'll experience it once in your lifetime. Maybe many times. But as we allow the fruit of the Spirit, allow God to humble us, I believe we'll operate more in the gifts of the Spirit. Not just the gift of faith. So I want us to be encouraged, really. This is what ministry is about, to encourage one another. In Mark 11:21, it says, Peter remembered and said, Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree. Jesus had cursed a fig tree and it had withered. You have no fruit. And he cursed it and it just shriveled up. It says this in 22, have faith in God. Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believe that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, if you ask anything in prayer, believe you've received it." Now this one's a difficult one, but we need to dig down a bit, and I want to make some suggestions. Do your own research. We always have to pray according to the will of God. So I can't say, "Lord, I'd like a Bentley," and a Bentley turns up. Because that's what the Bible just said, didn't it? I pray for something and it comes. According to his will, according to his plan and purpose. Well, that's a bit of a cop-out. But when we start to read scripture, if we just changed slightly the word, but not the meaning, not the definition, not the Hebrew or the Greek when you look at it, I could say, have faith in God, or I could say, have the faith of God. That Jesus was the Son of God, he was God made flesh, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Godhead. God made flesh, did what the Father said through faith. But as we have the faith of God, as we say, "Lord, you created, you can recreate, come and do some work in this individual." As we grasp that, and as that faith grows, when God drops that gift into our laps, then we can just speak out the words. Because we're not just using words that we're plucking out. "Lord, I want this. Lord, I want that. Lord, I want the other." We're saying, "There's something happening within me. I'm going to pray that faith that God has given me. He's given me a now faith. He's given me a now moment. Dare to believe it." You know, we've seen miracles in this church. We don't say them very often. But I look around and I know that there are men and women in this room that have witnessed the non-natural, the supernatural, the non-natural. I just shared one about my daughter. We prayed for a lady who had cancer. It was a now moment. It was a gift of faith. It was like I got hold of her hand and just prayed and said, "Cancer be dissolved," and it went. I prayed for someone else and sadly they passed away. That was a gift. That was a now moment. That was not natural. There was no way that we could have anticipated what was going to happen in the natural, because the natural was she had 2 months to live. So that was a supernatural thing. So I'm saying that as we allow this faith of ours to grow, the spiritual faith where the fruit of the Spirit grows through compassion and love and caring, we'll have a heart for people. So when God speaks, it won't be an arrogant heart, it'll be a soft, pliable heart. Hopefully that makes sense. But it's talking about not doubting. Now when we don't doubt, what I want to suggest is don't think about your own faith. Don't doubt what God has said. Has God said he wants to forgive you? Don't doubt it. That's the doubting I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your gifts, your abilities. Because if I doubt my own gifts, I wouldn't be able to stand here and speak. Because as a child growing up with dyslexia, I ran a mile, never read a book in my life, never stood up and read publicly, never spoke publicly. I had one public role when I was about 6, and I was the town crier in a play, in a Christmas play, and it was, "Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay, Christ is coming." That's the only lines I had. Never spoke before. God gave me a gift, or maybe not, depending on what the visitors say when they go, a gift to speak what my heart is full of, his word. So I'm not saying put myself down, but what I'm saying is there are times where God will say, "Don't doubt what I've said. If I've said it and that's the key, then I'll do it." So what does God's word say about faith? What does his word say about the miraculous? What does his word say about forgiveness? What does his word say about repentance? So as we journey, I'm not even halfway through, so I don't apologise, but we do have one or two more scriptures just to encourage us to look at this over again. The natural and the non-natural. The supernatural. The natural and the supernatural. Don't be afraid of that word. Don't be afraid of what the televangelists have told you, that if you sow $1,000 into his ministry, your son will be healed. Don't put your faith in him. Put your faith in what God has said. It says, "If you ask for forgiveness, I will forgive you." There's healing there, yes? you know, I'm feeling down, Lord, forgive me. And now I'm not feeling so down. Don't doubt what God has said. In Matthew 17, 20, he replied, because you have faith, little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here. Nothing will be impossible for you. So a small amount of faith in what God has already done. Not in our journey of faith, where it's going, the fruit is growing, the tree is bearing more fruit because of experience. The faith that comes from the supernatural. The faith that we can say, Lord, I'm putting my hope in what you've said. You've said you'd deliver me. You know, one thing about Barry, I will say this, there's never a dull moment. If you want to know about what's happened around other parts of the world, spend some time with Barry. If you want to know what it is to get in a vehicle that won't work naturally, and it starts to work supernaturally, chat with Barry. You know, there's a journey that we're on. If you take the faith, so is this, and I'm just going to put words into your mouth here, Barry, because I haven't had this conversation with you. But God said, go, and his word says, I'll provide for you. So we could say we're in the middle of the jungle, the car won't work, there's hostility all around us, and we could say that one of Barry's prayers is, Lord, you said go, so therefore you'll protect me. That's faith. That's faith in what God has said. So as we move forward, there'll be a time where we'll be in an impossible situation and something will rise up so small. And it will grow because we put our faith in what God has said. He'll remind us. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Lord, you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. Lord, you said that all things are possible. If I believe, I do believe. Lord, you said that if I repent, you'll forgive me. So there's nothing within me. Lord, I pray that you will give me the words to speak. Because the Bible says that don't worry about what to say. I'll put it in your heart. So I'm standing on your promises. Then your faith grows. And suddenly boldness comes. And you think to yourself, after you've got out of that situation, where did that come from? It was a gift of God. So I want us to be encouraged, I want us to be challenged, and I want us to use what God has already given us. And Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, it goes on to say this, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, just as if I'd not sinned at all, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It's not enough just to sit there and think about it. You know, if you think about the chicks in the nest, they need to open their mouths in order to be fed. It's the same for us at times. We need to open our mouths to say, Lord, forgive me. Enter into my heart. And yet the Bible turns around and says, that faith is also a gift. Because the Bible says that yet while I was still a sinner, God saved me. So you think, well, that's good. I don't need to do anything. I do, because Scripture says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. It doesn't say do good works. It doesn't say attend church. It says believe in your heart and declare with your mouth that what the Bible says, I did, I did. And you will be saved. Go from heaven to hell. Now the rest will come. You'll want to attend church. You'll want to be with other people. You'll want to worship him. You want to be thankful. You want to be grateful. You want to sow financially into what he's already doing in your life. But you don't need to do none of that in order to find salvation. It's by faith, and that's a gift. You just need to receive it. Isn't that good news? And I know that we have. And if you haven't, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Have faith in that word. This is my day. This is your day. If you've not confessed with your mouth, believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth, today is your day. It's your day of salvation, where the darkness becomes light, where this journey starts. And that's why I say we don't put our faith in our own abilities, we put our faith in his ability. Now, there are things that God's gifted us with. There are men and women in this room that can do things that I can't do, and I can do things that maybe some of you can't do. But they're natural gifts. But there's also times where God will give us a supernatural impartation to do something that we can't do. That's what I'm speaking about today. That gift of faith. Never write it off. Always be expecting it. Because it's at the unexpected times where the river seems dry that suddenly it rises and allows you to go on your journey. In Ephesians 2, it says this, 4:8. For it is by grace you have been saved. Now, grace simply means undeserved favour. Our daughter's name is Charis, which is Greek for grace, undeserved favour. You know, we don't deserve it, but God gave us it. It's a gift. It's a gift. We talk about the grace gifts, the charismata, the charismatic gifts, and they can be used in a bad way. And many people in church, I've found, I use this illustration of a pendulum. And in our own lives, parents, have you ever, when you're disciplining your children, you know, it's a small thing. Go, right, you're grounded for a month. Oh, hang on a minute. I won't be able to go out if I ground her for a month. So you need to think about it, don't you? You need to get it in perspective. And so when we look at what God does in our lives, we need to exercise that grace. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. See, what I say, I want to back up with what he says. So the grace of God comes upon us, and he gives us that gift of faith to start to question, did you say? Did you really say? Go right back to the garden, Adam and Eve. Did God really say, don't eat of the tree? And that's what will happen in our lives, all of our lives. We'll always have that voice that will say, did God really say that he loves you? Did he really say that he'll forgive me? Did he really say that I can do greater things? Did he really say that he could use me? He could use the gifts and talents that I have, even though I've backed up to a wall at times and I don't let anyone in. Did he really say that I could be compassionate to the uncompassionate, that I could be kind to the unkind, that I could show favour to the unfavourable? Did he really say that's the doubt that comes in? Well, faith, that's when we need that gift. That's when we allow the fruit of the Spirit to come in and grow that faith by doing small things and allowing God to remind us, Lord, you helped me out then. You answered my prayer then. You enabled me then. Lord, if you did it then, you can do it now. Why do I know that? Because you said you'll never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I'm sorry if you take notes. It's not a three-point sermon. But it's a story. Because the Bible is a thread that runs from Genesis to Revelation. It's a story with one author. Different scribes, but one author. One author and perfecter and the finisher of our faith. For it is by grace you have been saved. And that's a gift. So no one can boast. For it's God's handiwork. Created in Christ Jesus. We've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. We need to have faith to believe that. God, you want to use me to do good works? You see, no good tree will do bad works. And you're a good tree if you've been pruned by him. So as we continue on this story, as we continue in this message of encouragement and enablement and allowing you to grab hold of it by faith and walk forward, this one in Acts 14:8, in Lystra there was a man who was lame. Picture the scene. He's lame. He had been that way from birth. So what's going to happen next is not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. You see, if he was playing football and he got an injury, then medical science tells us this. If you do this and you do that and you rest it, you'll get well. Now, that's not the faith that we're talking about. I put my faith in the medical profession. I trust that they'll give me the right advice. But this is not that. As we read this story, it was like this from birth. He never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had faith to be healed. He called out, stand up on your feet. At that moment, the man jumped up and began to walk. Now, what happened in this small picture here is this. Paul had a relationship with the Lord. The Holy Spirit was quickening something in his heart, and he could see something in this man that he didn't see in other people. He saw that this man was listening intently. He was believing what was being said. He was believing the message that was being preached about Jesus Christ. Paul recognized it. Not only did Paul recognize it, but when Paul offered it, the man received it. So the gift is not just given, the gift is received. So just imagine that you're just a random individual walking around and someone comes up to you when you're walking on your walking stick or you've just been diagnosed with something which is life-limiting, and a stranger comes up to you and say, look, I'm really sorry, you don't know me, my name's Fred, and I'm a Christian, and I just believe that the Holy Spirit has said to me, you've just been diagnosed with, and he wants to heal you. So the man is walking in faith, that gift of faith. Are we going to receive it? You know, there's times where we receive it and it happens, and there's times where we don't. Why? Because that man has faith for us. And that's the gift. That's the miracle I'm talking about. It's the not natural. It's the supernatural. And God can gift all of us. You know, we all have different gifts determined on what he gives us. I've heard testimony of evangelists who they love nothing more than just preaching the gospel and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. They've got no interest in laying hands on the sick, just no interest whatsoever. And they've been out and they've laid hands on the sick and they've recovered. And they're going, oh wow, that was a gift of faith for that moment. Consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard, the word about Christ. So as we speak, hopefully, at least 80% of what we've been saying today is about what the Bible says, what the Word says. So faith comes by hearing, and if you've heard the message about Jesus Christ, faith would have grown already in your heart. Now we need to exercise it, and we need to enable him to come in. And I want us to pray prayers like, Lord, I'm open, I'm here, Lord, use me. I remember I was talking to someone at Coffee and Cake, can't remember who, but I was saying, you know, have you ever sulked, felt down and gone, I just feel so used? And then the other person goes, hallelujah, God's answered your prayer. And you go, what do you mean? Remember praying, Lord, use me. You see, faith grows. Faith is encouraged. Faith will enable us to go forward. Faith comes by hearing the message, not any message, through the word about Christ. You can talk about a God, you can talk about a deity, you can talk about a symbol, you can talk about an idol, you can talk about a way of life, you can talk about a philosophy, but that's not talking about Jesus Christ, is it? You can hear about a Jesus, but not the Christ. You can go to a seance, you can go to the occult and you start to see things happen. That's because it's supernatural, but it's dark. It will lead you down the pathway to hell and not to the pathway to heaven. But the message of faith that we're talking about is the message about Christ. So if you want your faith to grow, learn more about him. If you want your faith to grow, exercise the fruit of the Spirit so that God can trust us with the gift of the Spirit. So my second from final scripture is this, John 14:12. Very truly I tell you, in other words, listen to what I have to say. Whoever believes in me and the works I have been doing, they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask, the Son's glorified in the name of Jesus. Now that's not about, because I used to struggle with this scripture, it's not about saying, well, Jesus walked on water, so can I swim on the top? Do I need a plane? Jesus prayed for the sick, they got healed. Can I do that all the time and greater things? It's talking about the influence that the body is going to have when he goes to the Father. Because if we get it into context and we read around what the Bible's saying and we look at what the subject's about, what he's saying is this. I'm paraphrasing. He never said it this way, but I'm explaining it this way. Here I am, one man, sent by God, obedient. I only do what the Father says. Yes, I have the authority and the power to call down angels. I have the authority to climb and get off of that tree that they've nailed me to. I have the power and authority, but I choose not to. Because this is meekness, power under control. I only do what the Father says. When I go to the Father, I just travel a few miles, one area. When I go to the Father, I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to manifest globally. So we're going to do greater things. We're not going to do necessarily the same things, but we can if we have that gift of faith, if we have that gift of healing, if we have that gift of knowledge. But we're going to have a greater influence because the word can be spread globally. You know, when I'm using Barry because he's a great prop, in Barry's day, he had to take a physical Bible with him. Now he could just send a text. Or if in my case, you can't, but you could send a text. Now a Bible this big can be in this smaller package on a stick. So there's greater influence, and that's what that message means. That's what that Bible verse is all about. Let's not waste what we've got. Let's use what we've got in the vicinity that we have been given, that we may see the fruit and the miraculous happen in our lives. Final scripture, 1 John 1:9 is this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. When we talk about faith, we need that faith for this verse. Because we don't feel it, do we? We don't feel, well, maybe some of you might, but I don't. I don't feel forgiven when I've done something wrong. When I became a Christian, I have time, so I'll just share my testimony with you. We went through this stuff with Susan. Susan was ill. She got miraculously healed. She was in a wheelchair. I was carrying her upstairs, and she was 6 to 6.5 stone. And I'd become a Christian, and I understand God's miracles. Before all of that happened, Susan had a conversation with our neighbour, and she started going to church. And I started to notice a difference in her. And she said, "Do you mind if I go?" I went, "No. Happy days, but don't expect me to come." Anyway, I went because I was curious. It's when I first met Nigel and Emma. I was curious, and I had no understanding of the gospel whatsoever. I never disbelieved there was a God. I wasn't anti-Christ. I just wasn't anything. And I went to church, and this big burly Yorkshireman just shared the gospel about Jesus Christ and said, "Is there anyone that would like to accept Jesus as Saviour and Lord?" And I'm only telling you as it happened, my hand goes up. And this is how it happened for me. I'm going, "What are you doing?" Anyway, I went forward, and a man named Tim prayed for me. So the next week I go to church. There's a gospel. Is there anyone that wants to know Jesus? So I go forward. Tim prays for me. Next week, is there anyone that wants to know Jesus? And Tim looks at me and he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You came up for salvation and you received it last week and the week before." I said, "But I don't feel anything." So he put his hand in his head and he said, "Andrew, by faith, just believe that what God said he would do in you, he's done." And I started that journey of faith. And I don't feel, I don't shake, shudder, rattle and roll. I don't have a sense of goosebumps now and again, maybe. But by faith, on that day, I chose to believe that what he did on the cross, he did for me. When he died and shed his blood on the cross for humanity, that included me. When he said, "I'll forgive you your sins if you confess them," it's me. But I needed to have faith. Confidence in the things that I couldn't see. But I put my faith in what he said. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful, full of faith, in other words, and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Not just some of it. You know, how many times do we, and maybe this is just me, how many times I go, yeah, I can understand God will forgive me for that, but what about this one? If anyone knew, well, don't you not think God knows? It says all unrighteousness. That doesn't mean it's a license to live your life recklessly, but it does mean we can come back and say, Lord, I've messed up again. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing the message about what God has said. If we claim that we have not sinned, I don't need God, then you make him out to be a liar, and the word is not in us. And if the word is not in us, it can't work in us. So I'm going to leave it there and just finish finally by saying, be encouraged. If you are a Christian is a follower of Christ. It's a disciple of Christ. If you're someone that's on that journey where you're going, Lord, I'm not sure if I am a Christian or not, well, today is good news for you. It's a day of salvation. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and your simple response is that confession with your mouth is, yes, I believe, but you don't need to do it out loud to me because God will hear you. He's not deaf. But for the rest of us, it's a case of saying, Lord, I want the fruit of the Spirit to grow in me, that fruit of faith. So as small things happen, my faith grows naturally stronger and stronger. I start to believe that when I share your word, it will be effective. That natural faith, as I pray for my loved ones and my family in daily prayers, and I start to witness, or you start to witness the answers to small prayers, and you're going, wow, I'll share this with you. It's just a testimony. I've had Paul on my heart for a while. And when today I got here, and as I was praying around the room, I was praying that somehow I'd be able to get Paul here. And today he walks in the room. We don't walk in the room. He's pushed in the room in a wheelchair by family. Now, that encourages my faith. God hears our prayers. So, Lord, breathe on us afresh this day, we pray. Breathe on us afresh, Lord, that we may be encouraged to act accordingly to what your word says. That, Lord, we can enable our natural faith to be a spiritual faith, a fruitful faith, and we'll be able to act upon the gift of faith. That when you speak to us, that we will speak it out and see the miraculous happen. See the non-natural in a natural situation. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, if there's anyone here that does not know you, that has never given their heart to you, let it be today. So you individual, you simply pray your own prayer. You ask God to come into your heart. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and accept his gift of faith. Amen. Thank you.